Our processional hymn today is number 155, Jesus Christ is Risen Today. It's in the hard-covered hymn books or on the screen, number 155. Please be seated. Again, a welcome to everyone on this glorious Easter morning. It's wonderful to have the bells ring in the morning, and may the peace of Christ be with you and all who you care about this Easter season. And our thanks to the Brew Crew for the coffee and tea in the hall after church today, and everyone is welcome. Please also read over the names of all those whom flowers have been placed in memory of to decorate the sanctuary today. It's in the bulletin at the end of the order of service. And our thanks to Tony and Diane Van Veen for organizing this. Please also take the calendar home with you this week to look over all the events happening at the church this week. Spaces are still available for the Vacation Bible Camp in August. Please let friends and neighbors know, children's ages 5 to 12. It's a ton of fun, and you register online. Please also note, I'm on study leave this coming week, and the Reverend Stephen Huntley from Tansley United Church is covering for me, and his phone number and contact information is the bulletin, so please take it home with you for that. Are there any other announcements, celebrations, or concerns for the church family this morning? Oh, what a morning. Death and despair and injustice have been put to flight, all because of the light and hope of Jesus rising from the tomb. We are to remember this each Sunday morning when we light the Christ candle, but we remember it especially today on this Easter Sunday. So through the lighting of the Christ candle, may you remember the risen Christ in our midst. And through the lighting of the Christ candle, may you open yourself to the love and peace of God that we celebrate in worship. Amen. Let us now turn in the bulletin or the screen to acknowledge God's presence in our midst. Jesus is risen. Now say it with some conviction.
Jesus is risen.
Thank you. What does that mean for us?
New life, new hope, new us.
Come, let us worship our God who is full of surprises. Let us pray. Incredible, surprising, renewing, life-giving God, we come this morning to be shaken from our complacency and our death-enduring routine. We come to be shocked by this story of resurrection.
Open our eyes, hearts, and minds to the amazing experience of resurrection.
May the earthquakes rock our world. May we listen eagerly and expectantly to the women who bring this life-transforming news, even though we have heard it many times before. Come to us, God. Come to us, resurrected one. Song, in word, in words of sermon, and in the presence of our sisters and brothers, come and resurrect us. Amen.
Rise up, Easter morning, rise up, early singing, hallelujah, rise up.
It is important to take times of reflection in our lives in order to be transformed. So we ritualize this in our service of worship through a time of reflection and saying, I'm sorry. Let us pray responsively. We confess, eternal Creator, that even 2,000 years later, we expect to find the tomb closed and full of the death we experience all around us. We do not expect new life today. We do not expect anything but the same burdens of sadness and despair to which we have become all too accustomed.
We have arrived on this morning, like Mary, ready to be weighed down by the realities of our world. We confess that part of our spirit remains unable to comprehend you right here, with us, risen. Forgive us, we pray.
Take a moment to bring before God in the silence of your heart those areas of your life that you would like to see new life. Amen. Let us now join in what I consider the best part of the service, the assurance of God's never-ending love for us. There is only one assurance we need today. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen.
I know there's some younger ones among us, and whether you're young or young at heart, you can come forward for a children's story if you would like.
Yeah, I like that.
It includes young in heart, Doug, so come on down. Just for you, not a problem. Oh my goodness, you brought up an Easter egg. Thank you. I need that for my story, okay? That's awesome. I'll give it back to you, though, okay? Good morning. Have you had a good Easter morning?
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Did you find some eggs this morning? Did you have some Easter eggs?
No.
No. You didn't find any. Can I borrow your Easter egg, please? Now, did you get one of these this morning? Oh, good. You've got at least one Easter egg. That's so cool. Do you know what's neat about Easter eggs? They are a symbol of the Easter story. And I'm going to give you one of these coloring sheets afterwards. Oh, come on down. Absolutely. That's wonderful. Did you get some things from the Easter Bunny this morning? Oh, that's fantastic. Well, what's cool about an Easter egg, it's like that stone that was in front of the tomb. And these eggs can roll. And it's a symbol of the rolling away of the stone.
Yeah, I know the story.
You know the story? That is fantastic. That's fantastic. I'm so glad that you know the story. Maybe you can tell some of the people out there, because we all need to remember the story, okay? And so lo and behold, today we remember when the stone was rolled away and the grave was empty, and we shout, Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. And that gives new life inside of us. And that's awesome. So let us pray. I say a couple words and then you can say it back, and them out there too. Oh God, we thank you for Easter morning.
We thank you for Easter morning.
We thank you for Easter eggs.
We thank you for Easter eggs.
And chocolate.
And chocolate.
And the fact the stone is rolled away.
And the fact the stone is rolled away.
And Jesus is alive.
And Jesus is alive.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, here. I'll give this back to you. Okay, you may want some of that Play-Doh. And if you want, you can take one of these with you, and you can color it during the service, okay? And someone's going to have to take one up for Tim. Okay. Okay, thank you. Here, yep, there you go. There's one for you. And you can go back now after you get one. Oh, boy. There you go. And hopefully you also have a pew pack with some crayons in it. That's awesome. Thank you. Thank you. There you go. Oh, Juliet, it's so good to see you. There you go.
Good morning and happy Easter. Today's reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 22 to 29. The future glory. You can find it in the Good News Bible, in the New Testament, page 210. For we know that up to the present time, all of creation groans with pain, like the pain of childbirth. But it is not just creation alone which groans. We who have the Spirit as the first of God's gifts also groan within ourselves as we wait for God to make us his children and set our whole being free. For it was by hope that we were saved. But if we see what we hope for, then it is not really hope. For who of us hopes for something we see? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. In the same way, the Spirit also comes to help us, weak as we are, for we do not know how we ought to pray. The Spirit himself pleads with God for us in groans that words cannot express. And God, who sees into our hearts, knows what the thought of the Spirit is, because the Spirit pleads with God on behalf of his people and in accordance with his will. We know that in all things God works for good with those who love him, from those whom he has called according to his purpose. Those whom God had already chosen, he also set apart to become like his Son, so that the Son would be the first among many believers. Thanks be to God for the reading.
Amen. And the story of Jesus this morning is, of course, the Easter story as recorded in Luke's Gospel, beginning at the first verse in chapter 24. Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb carrying spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the entrance of the tomb. So they went in, but they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They stood there, puzzled about this, when suddenly two men in bright clothes stood by them. Full of fear, the women bowed down to the ground as the men said to them, "Why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? He is not here, he has been raised. Remember what he said to you while he was in Galilee. The Son of Man must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and 3 days later rise to life." Then the women remembered these words, returned from the tomb, and told all these things to the 11 other disciples and all the rest. The women were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James. They and the other women with them told these things to the apostles. But the apostles thought that what the women said was nonsense, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. He bent down and saw the grave clothes, but nothing else. Then he went back home, amazed at what had happened. Thanks be to God for these words. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. How many of you have at least one happy memory of Easter? Hands up, you have at least one happy... Awesome, thank you very much. My next question is, does it include chocolate? Yeah, absolutely, a few. Thank you very much. That's absolutely wonderful. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is, Jesus Christ is risen today, rethinking Easter. And I want to thank you for coming and taking some time out of your busy Easter weekend to gather together and remember this wonderful story. Now today, you will take some time to rethink some things about what you might believe about God. Just as you have grown older, you've had to rethink some things about what you believe about the Easter Bunny and about Santa Claus. Now, can I tell you some of my own story this morning? Thank you. Those are the regulars. They say, yeah, by all means. They know what's happening next. So one of my favorite Easter memories is, how many of you have ever bought a fairly large Easter bunny? You bought, there you go, awesome. And you know it has that plastic cover around it, right? So you can see it nice and well. Well, my mom, one year, saved that plastic cover and used it as a mold. And next year, my Easter bunny was solid homemade chocolate fudge. Does that sound good or what? And she did that for a few years, you know. Love you, Mom. Thank you. It was absolutely amazing. Now, some of my other good Easter memories are obviously hiding Easter eggs for Alex and having Alex find them on Easter morning. Things were always cut a little short because somebody had to run to go to church, right? You know? Now, in my teens, I suspect, my mom told me I was born on Easter Sunday. And thank you for some of you in the congregation who remembered that and said happy birthday this morning. Well, that was interesting. As a teenager, you really don't remember too much of that stuff. But then when I got older, I remembered. And I kept waiting and waiting and waiting for my birthday to be on Easter again. Well, I got older. 35, 40, 50, and still no luck. I tried looking in the back of service books to see if they had a list of Easter dates. I got so desperate, I borrowed an Anglican service book. And there was a list of dates there, but it didn't go far enough. And I naturally don't live in the computer world, so eventually I relented, and what did I do? Googled it. Thank you very much. And so I found a list, and you need to know this is the first time since 1957 that my birthday has landed on Easter. Thank you. Awesome. So if you're good at math, that's 62 years. Now, this was quite a bit of an anomaly because usually it happens 3 times every 100 years. So those are a couple of my favorite Easter memories. And so your question today is, find a person around you, maybe someone you usually don't talk to, introduce yourself, and share one of your favorite Easter memories. Does that make sense? Find somebody, introduce yourself, share a favorite Easter memory. Go.
Thank you.
please stop? Wow. You also have lots of great Easter stories. That's fantastic. Please remember to share them on your way home today in the car or at coffee and conversation following church. Jesus Christ is risen today. Hallelujah. And we, like those first Easter women, peer into the tomb, but not many of us are still filled with awe and wonder. I think we've heard the story too many times, and we've experienced too much life to continue to be amazed. Good people dying too young, tragic car accidents, white supremacists spewing out hate on the internet that recently led to 50 Muslim worshippers dead in New Zealand. What are you up to, God? Or where are you? When a young person dies, or a very good person dies tragically, I hear the refrain, why did God allow that to happen? Absolutely, thank you. So this Easter, when we peer into the tomb with Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and some other women, and then eventually Peter, we may need to examine the grave clothes a little further. Maybe we need to rethink our understanding of God, as we have had to rethink our understanding of the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus as we have gotten older. And as I have gotten older, I've really appreciated the rethinking of Rabbi Harold Kushner that he has done in his well-known book called When Bad Things Happen to Good People. One story that he shares of a Lutheran pastor who was doing the funeral for a young man at an almost exact, it was the same day and almost the same hour that that young man was to be married in the same church. A drunk driver ran into the car that he and his friends were driving days before the wedding. And after the funeral service, he returned to his office to find the bereaved bride-to-be. And she said, if one more person tells me it was God's will, I am going to scream. Why are people teaching me to hate God? Rethinking our understanding of God. As Harold said, when we say God is responsible for everything that happens, good and bad alike, we inadvertently teach people one of two things: to hate themselves. You know, I must be a terrible person and I deserved it and God is punishing me for something. Or to hate God for doing it. Now, Harold's search for a better understanding of God came out of his own crisis of faith when his 12-year-old son died from a rare disease known as rapid aging. That search led him to a deep study of the book of Job and Hebrews scriptures that in many ways is like a doctoral thesis on suffering. Harold summarizes the book this way: when life is good and all is going well for you, you can affirm three statements. How many?
Three.
Thank you. The first, God is all powerful. Everything that happens in the world is part of God's will, master plan. Second statement, God is completely good and fair and just. The third statement, Job is a good man. When life throws you a curve, though, like your son dying with a rapid aging disease, Harold says you can only affirm two out of the three statements. Job's friends who come to comfort him, hear the words comfort, threw out number three, Job is a good man. God must have a good reason for doing this to you, Job. Just confess your sins, what you did wrong, even if they were in secret, and all will be well with you. God will restore your fortunes and your health. Well, Job wasn't prepared to sacrifice his integrity to maintain his friends' understanding of God. He said to them, "I'm no worse than my neighbors. I go to church regularly. I give very generously to charitable causes. And when bad things, disaster happens on my neighbors, I go and help them. So why has this happened to me, God?" Believe it or not, Job throws out number two. God is completely fair and just. He says if God is all-powerful, then God doesn't have to play fair. God doesn't have to play by the rules. God can do whatever God wants. Now, Harold thought that was a terrible answer, because who teaches little children to say that's not fair on the playground, if not for an innate sense of right and wrong within them? Not to mention all the scriptures in the Bible that talk about God's fairness and God's justice. So Harold, following what? Sherlock Holmes, when all the probable isn't what it is, you go to the improbable. He throws out number one. God is all-powerful. He would say God is powerful, just not all-powerful, that contradicts almost everything we learned in Sunday school about God. To say God is all-powerful is to blame God for all the terrible things that ever happened in human history, that God is responsible for them all. So where is God in the midst of crisis? The car crash that claimed her fiancé's life, Auschwitz, was it God's will? No, these and many other things are not God's will. So where is God in the midst of suffering? Dorothy Soule, a post-World War II German theologian, said that God is on the side of the victims, that God was walking beside them as they entered the Nazi gas chambers, weeping with those who weep. Rethinking our image of God. Powerful, but not all-powerful. Did God demand that Jesus die on a cross to pay the price for our sins, to save us from an angry God who would torment us eternally in hell for our mistakes? I don't think so. That is one understanding of the cross that is based on Anselm of Canterbury's doctoral thesis in the late 11th century. Is there a different understanding of the cross that might be more meaningful for us today? Could it be that Jesus so lived out God's love in his life, eating with the marginalized, those on the fringes, talking to women about theology, which was a huge no-no that would get you in trouble back then, healing lepers, again a no-no to be with them, talking with tax collectors, confronting injustice, replacing an understanding of God that was based on the purity code, be ye perfect as I am perfect, unclean versus clean, with an understanding of God that was based on compassion. Be ye compassionate as I am compassionate. An understanding of God that common folks flock to, but the religious establishment rejected. He became so popular that it became threatening that Rome intervened and did what Rome did with almost all of their problems. What did Rome do with their problems? Exactly. Killed them. Crucified them. Literally. So where is God in the suffering of the world? Our suffering. hanging on the cross, standing, sitting right beside us, weeping as we weep. Did God leave Jesus in the tomb? No. The stone was rolled away. It is empty. And as God raised Jesus from the dead, so will God raise us. Not just at the end of our lives, but as we continue to live out God's compassion in the world in all its manifestation and all the pushback that you will receive as you try to live out God's love and fairness in the world. In Paul's letter to the church at Rome, he says, "For we know that up to the present time, all creation groans with the pain of childbirth." That groaning reflects the incompleteness of creation. Hate that spewed forth, killing 50 Muslim worshippers in New Zealand. The recent newspaper article where a woman had to abandon her mom in the Joseph Brandt hallway to get a long-term bed for her to take care of her suffering with dementia because her husband was currently in the hospital because of trying to take care of her. That and in all things, the Spirit of God still works over the face of the waters to create order out of the chaos. That is one translation for the beginning of Genesis, the creation story. And just as God moved over the face of the waters to create order out of the chaos long ago, the Spirit of God that is present in the risen Christ in you and me is calling us away from the empty tomb to be God's agents of compassion and good amidst the chaos and the crosses that still exist in our world. And because of this day, you can join God in the work of weeping with those who weep, knowing that regardless of what obstacles that may come your way as you do this work, the pushback you will receive, that God is with you and will raise you up on the last day. My Lord, what a morning. We can join in that song. The last word of God is compassion. A compassion seen in the life of Jesus Christ. A compassion that so threatened the powers that be that led to his death on the cross. But God's goodness and love did not die there. No, they continue to live on in the hearts and minds of those who are open to the Spirit of God, the risen Christ, working through them and amongst them in order to create order out of the chaos in our world. Still. Thanks be to God. Amen. What can we offer in response to this amazing gifts of Jesus' resurrection from the dead? We can offer our belief, our questions, our actions, our financial resources, and our very selves, so that the world may know the power of birthquakes, the birth of love, compassion, and renewed right relations. We'll now have our morning's offering.
Cups of water, crumbs of bread, small things done because we're kind, count as big things in God's mind.
Let us pray. God of new life and power, we offer all that we have and all that we are in amazed gratitude for the gift of resurrection rampage in our lives and in our world. May these offerings be used to shake, rattle, and roll the world as the stone was rolled away this Easter morning. My Lord, what a morning. Amen. Thank you. Please remain standing, actually. I didn't think quick enough. So that we can join in the hymn number 352 in the hard-covered hymn book, I Danced in the Morning, as we prepare our hearts and minds for communion. 352. Please be seated. I'll let you sit down now. In the United Church of Canada, we practice what is called open communion, that the table is open to anyone regardless of adherence to creedal statements or age. So everyone is welcome to the table. Anyone who desires a friend, relationship with God through a friendship with Jesus Christ. It's on the screen and in your bulletin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks to God. We thank you, God, Father and Mother of us all. In the resurrection of your child, Jesus, you promised us new life. In this Easter feast, you meet us and welcome us in.
Hallelujah.
Why is this day different from all other days?
On this day, God raised Jesus from death to be a sign of life and hope for us. Because God raised Jesus from the tomb, we know that pain and sadness and suffering and loneliness are not the end of life. The end of life is a new creation.
So where does our story start?
In the beginning, God created the earth, the sea and the heavens and all living creatures, and God called them good. God has stayed with the people from the very start. God gave children to Abraham and Sarah and courage and strength to Moses and Miriam. God gave loyalty to Ruth and helped David battle with giants. God sent prophets to inspire us with songs and visions.
Hallelujah.
Then what happened? Tell us, what happened then?
The people turned away and forgot about God, but God did not forget us. God sent Jesus to the world to show how much God loves us and to help us be part of God's people. Jesus was born just like one of us, a tiny baby. He grew up and became an adult. He ate and drank, sang and danced with everyone around him. He healed sick people and comforted unhappy people. He was a friend to lonely people and spoke words of hope to everyone. But he was betrayed and nailed to a cross, and he died. Then God raised Jesus up from the tomb and restored him to life. And because of Jesus, we know that we will live forevermore. Therefore, with all the saints and angels, we sing,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
Hosanna in the highest.
Why do we eat this meal?
At supper, on the night before Jesus died, he took bread and thanked God for it and broke it, giving it to his friends, saying, Take this and eat it, everyone. This is my body given for you. Remember me every time you do this.
After supper, Jesus took a cup of wine. He thanked God for it
and passed it to his friends, saying, Take this and drink it, everyone. This cup is God's promise to you, made in my blood. Remember me every time you do this.
And so we remember Jesus' death and we celebrate his resurrection. And we wait for him to come again, bringing peace and wholeness to the world.
Hallelujah.
What blessing do we take over this meal?
We pray for God, who loves us, to send the Holy Spirit upon all of us and what we do at this table, so that we and this bread and wine, being filled with the Spirit, may be symbols of new life and hope for each other and for the world.
Through Christ, with Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory is yours, God most holy, now and forever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let us join together in the vision Jesus gave us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The bread of Christ, which is broken for us. The blood of Christ that is shed for us. Come all who hunger and thirst. the body of Christ that is broken for us.
Thank you.
The blood of Christ, which was shed for us and leads to new life. Let us join together in the closing communion prayer. Risen with Christ, may we know the reassurance of God's presence. Risen with Christ, may we accept the challenge to work in God's way. Risen with Christ, may we sense the changes stirring within us. Risen with Christ, may be living proof that God's love will never die. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 173, Thine is the Glory, 173. We have experienced birthquakes. We have experienced resurrection rampage. We have been amazed and surprised and gratified to receive the risen Christ. Go now in Christ's name Tell your tales and transform the world as you have been transformed by God's amazing love. Please be seated to enjoy the bells postlude and then greet one another with the risen Christ afterwards. Thank you.